Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers on the broadcast today. Our guest is Christina Swallow. She's the director of the Nevada Department of Transportation, here for the whole show on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Located in the heart of Carson City, the Bank Saloon, a historic watering hole with a modern feel. With a variety of classic cocktails featuring Nevada spirits, space for private events, conferences, and an incredible atmosphere. The Bank Saloon offers a great location to work and play. Come visit us. Located at the corner of 5th and Carson. We'll save you a drink.
When in Carson City, Nevada Newsmakers records in the conference room at the Bank Saloon. Coverage of the 2021 Nevada legislative session is brought to you by Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you. Ahern Rentals is ready for your next project. Liberty Dental Plan, making members shine one smile at a time. And Southwest Specialties, creative, distinctive, beautiful.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we are joined by Christina Swallow. She's director of the Nevada Department of Transportation. Pleasure to have you here.
Thank you so much for having me.
So over the years, I've interviewed lots of directors, and all of them at the time has said, boy, if we only had the money. Well, with almost $3 billion coming towards the state and an infrastructure bill in the works on a federal level, what are your hopes and dreams for what could be accomplished over the next decades?
Next decades. No small question there.
Well, and the reason I say that, and one of the reasons I wanted to have you on, is that your position is unique. It's like airport directors and RTCs, state demographers. You have to look out 30 years or more to plan. So tell me your thoughts.
You know, we're always hopeful when we hear that there's more funding coming to the state. Unfortunately, during a lot of the pandemic, the relief money, the assistance that's been provided, hasn't been specifically for DOTs. We did get, and we anticipate getting, $90 million in total, of which $20 million will be sub-allocated to the MPOs of Washoe, Tahoe, and Clark County. So we'll end up with about $70 million, and that came out in the bill package that was approved at late December. So we are going to get some of that COVID funding, which we're excited about. And then, as you mentioned, there is a infrastructure bill going through. It's timed very well for our authorizing language. So our bill that we operate on under right now for federal funding is set to expire later this year. It actually is already on a one-year extension. So that a lot of that infrastructure funding is funding that we anticipate. We are excited that the administration's proposal has additional funding in it, and even the Republican proposal has additional funding in it. However, we're underfunded. As you mentioned, all the directors you've talked to, funding is the biggest thing. Our funding shortfall on an annual basis is roughly $530 million. So you can imagine, even though there's more funding coming, it likely is not going to meet that need. So we're really starting to think about, well, how do we build differently? And that is directly linked to what are we thinking about for the next decades? How do we build differently? How do we move people differently? Because we're going to have to figure that out. There is not enough funding to meet all of our needs. We are having conversations about funding challenges with the state legislature, and a bill recently passed, and I think it's waiting for enrollment to really look at that. But unless we, and even if we do find significant additional funding, if we want to meet the climate goals of the state, we're going to have to start building differently. So we're thinking about that, and we're thinking about how do we move people differently, how do we build differently to change that conversation.
All right, so that's a really long-term goal, even though you can start planning for it now. But gasoline cars are going to be around for a long mm-hmm. time. I mean, it's not like they're going to disappear overnight.
Right.
And electric vehicles, although there's a lot of excitement about them, are still about 2% of the sales of automobiles at this point in time. And Ford is very excited about their F-150 and the power of that vehicle. But you know, what do you see in the short term? So, and let's describe the short term as 5 to 10 years.
What do I see regarding?
Regarding, are you looking for changes in the way that people are transported? Or, you know, because, I mean, there's so many different things. I mean, for example, right now in Las Vegas, you've got Elon Musk's Boring Company under the convention center. The plan is to expand that all the way out across the Las Vegas Valley. And so it'll go from downtown to the airport. I've looked on Elon Musk's website for the Boring Company, and it actually shows a line going all the way from Las Vegas to Los Angeles. So there's a potential there. What other things are you looking at?
So you're right. Electric vehicles aren't going to be here tomorrow or in mass use tomorrow. They are here today, and the adoption is increasing. But when we're talking about meeting the climate goals, in order to truly meet those, we need to start really thinking about how we move people differently. So for instance, you mentioned the Boring Company's efforts, but I'm thinking far more traditionally. I'm thinking about how do we make sure that we build infrastructure that allows for people to walk or bike for the short trips. And that might not be their commute to work. You and I were both talking about how we commuted this morning from Reno to Carson. You're not gonna bike or walk from Reno to Carson, although I think I actually have some team members that do bike. That's too far. But we could possibly bike or walk to the grocery store on the weekend, or we could bike or walk to the gym if we build differently. So how do we have the conversation about making those other trips more accessible to other modes, so that you're not contributing to climate emissions on every single trip? Another thing is, how do we make traditional mass transit more appealing? For instance, we mentioned I rode the bus this morning. It was fantastic. I did drive. I drove to the park and ride. I got on the bus. It was a 30-minute ride. It dropped me off right by the office, and I was able to work along the way. And so how do we make sure that transit is also an option for people who are able to use it, or people who want to use it? So it's not just about, when we're talking about changing or achieving our climate goals, it's not just about evolution of the fleet to an electric fleet. It's also about how do we make sure that the people in our communities have other options, and that those options are appealing so that they use them.
All right, so let's try another scenario. In Las Vegas, you know, it's a city of 2 million people now, but the whole Reno, Sparks, Carson City, Fernley, Fallon area is about 500,000 people. Mm-hmm. And you have a lot of people in neighborhoods like my own, where to get to the nearest bus stop from my house is over a mile walk down a steep hill, which means coming home would be up a steep hill, which in winter would be insane because of snow. And in the summer with 100 degree temperatures would be insane, you know, walking as well. So do you look at, for example, the idea of electric cars that would, you know, I mean, I'm speaking futuristically, but you could call and get an electric car that would come to your house and then join a chain of other electric cars that would peel off and go into different directions. Are those things that, you know, you're thinking about at this point at NDOT?
So I had a 2 mile to my bus stop this morning, and I drove it, right? And in Vegas, I have a 1 mile to the bus stop. And so I get those challenges. The challenge with focusing solely on vehicles, like the traditional vehicle, an electric vehicle, is that that vehicle takes up a lot of space. And even if it becomes autonomous in the future, it still takes up a lot of space for one person. And so that's where we are trying to think about, how do we move people together? How do we move more people in less space? Because going back to the funding question, if I have a $530 million annual shortfall, I can't keep building bigger roads to meet the needs of individual transport vehicles. So it's really, how do we start thinking about building our communities differently? Transit may not work for everybody. You know, it may not work for everybody. If you build the community differently, it could work for more. How do we make sure that we do meet that last mile option? And that last mile option may not be appropriate for you or me, but it could be for others in terms of, is it a bike share type program? Is it a, in Las Vegas, the RTC has done some really good options with that last mile option using rideshare. So it's not really in our space to talk about, to deliver the transit program. The transit program is primarily in Washoe and Clark, the RTCs, but we are having the conversation broadly about how do we make sure that the funding is available for transit? How do we make sure that when we build roads, that we build roads that work for everybody, whether they're driving, walking, bike, transit? So it's more about those types of conversations, not specifically the delivery of the transit program. That's another agency's purview, but really how do we work together across transportation and the local agencies to think about and change how we're building our communities and how we're moving people through the communities.
So part of it, and this would be an RTC thing at both ends of the state, is narrowing roads, dual lane roads that are now single lane roads, traffic being slowed down. So that's attempting to push people onto buses, but it doesn't really seem to be working.
You know, again, you mentioned it's the RTC's purview,
right.
And I don't know what all of their goals are when they do some of those projects.
But I can tell you, their goals are to get people, from driving their private cars and onto buses, because, you know, that's the way that they view the future.
You know, I think sometimes the project goals also have to do with safety and economic development. There's a lot of studies around that show, in fact, there's a breadth of knowledge that show when you slow traffic, the safety outcomes are better for everybody on the road. So there's a lot to be said for slowing traffic to improve safety. There's also a lot to be said for the economic impacts of some of those changes that they've been making. And so we're looking at those broadly together as transportation agencies, but also when those agencies are making the decisions, they're not doing it in a black box. They're doing it in participation with the local agencies to make sure it's meeting the needs of the community.
All right, so let's talk about some big picture ideas here. One of the things that the congressional delegation has been working on and Las Vegas Metro Chamber is I-11. And we have a portion of it completed in Southern Nevada, but we're still waiting for Phoenix to get their act together to finish their portion of that. A, do you think that with infrastructure funding that that's going to be a priority for them, or do they have other priorities that you think are going to precede that?
You know, I can't speak for the priorities of the Arizona Department of Transportation, but I can tell you in Nevada.
But do you have conversations with them about it?
We do interact with all of our neighboring states. We're actually part of an organization that's the Western State Transportation Officials. So we do interact with them. I think the challenge is we're not alone in our budget shortfall. And when you look at that and you look at even our own priorities, when we're looking at where the needs are for our state, the needs are in Las Vegas, the needs are in Washoe County, the needs are in our smaller communities that are growing or changing or evolving, or simply the roadway network has fallen into disrepair and it needs to be improved. So when we're prioritizing, our needs are so great that it's hard to envision building out an interstate in one big chunk. So when we talk about I-11, you're right, we are right now looking at how do we get it across the Las Vegas metro. But then that next step, that piece from Vegas to Reno, that's a harder question to answer because it's 400 miles of roadway. It's going to be expensive to widen it. So we're looking at how do we widen it? How do we create a space to foster that economic growth, to foster that connection between the two communities in a way that we can balance that with the needs of our metro communities.
Okay, so you're envisioning widening 95. Is that basically the plan to move that north?
So generally the I-11 corridor from Vegas to Reno is along 95. It may not be exactly the 95 alignment the whole way, but it is generally following the 95 corridor.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back with much more with Christina Swallow of NDOT right after this.
Hi, I'm Renee Summerauer, digital news anchor here at 7 at 7. Watch our streaming nonstop newscast immediately with your mobile phone. 7 at 7 is the new way for you to get every bit of local news you need in just 7 minutes. Breaking news, local neighborhood news, weather, and sports are just a click away. Reporters bring you all of what's happening in the Valley. From Roku, Amazon Fire, Apple TV, YouTube, and more. get every bit of local news you need from the RJ and LVRJ.com.
Southwest Specialties has been making the homes and businesses of Nevada beautiful for more than 20 years. Their experienced designers and craftsmen create the walkways, backyards, water features, and a variety of outdoor cooking areas that add curb appeal and value to your investment. Call today or visit them at their website and see how they can make your outdoor spaces special. Southwest Specialties, creative, distinctive, beautiful.
Each day, the Children's Advocacy Alliance partners with leaders, legislators, and families across Nevada to improve children's health, education, economic well-being, and safety. We recognize Nevada will be no better than the state of its children. Be a part of this change. Be a supporter of the Children's Advocacy Alliance. For more information, go to caanv.org.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
I'm back on Nevada Newsmakers. Congratulate me on renaming you as Christina. I'm so sorry. Christina Swallow is director of the Nevada Department of Transportation. Just to end on this thing about I-11, is it 30 years out for I-11 to come from Las Vegas to Reno?
You know, I don't...
Realistically.
It might be. What we're doing along I-11, though, is... not I-11, along 95, which will be the I-11 corridor. What we're doing is we are strategically locating passing lanes and widening it as we can. So as we find safety issues, as we find congestion or bottleneck issues, we're slowly widening it. So full interstate conditions, that's decades. But a better commute, a better connection, that's something that we're delivering every year. In fact, right now we have, this year, we have multiple projects along 95 where we're adding passing lanes. There's one just outside, just north of Schurz, between Schurz and Fallon. There's another one just north of Beatty. So we're actively working on making that corridor better and safer. But the full interstate conditions, yeah, are probably decades out.
With the problems in the Port of Los Angeles, one would think that the ports in Mexico that would align with I-11 would be of a great benefit right now, but of course that's not underway. Gas taxes. So you've got a shortfall. We haven't raised the federal gas tax in a long time. What do you think the chances are of seeing that happening anytime soon?
You know, I've not heard any conversation about raising the gas tax in the current conversations about the infrastructure package, but that doesn't mean it couldn't still come. Congress is going to have to figure out how to fund the infrastructure bill, and that may be something that they consider. I think ultimately, a long term, as we sort of touched on a little bit, with more electric vehicles coming into the market, we are going to have to evolve how we pay for the system. So a gas tax may be something that they consider now, but they may need to start considering how we fund it long term, just as we're doing here at the state.
And a way to tax electric vehicles, because at this point, with the gas taxes that are paid for with gasoline, electric vehicles are not paying anything there. Do you see something happening on that front?
So federally, they've been doing pilot studies or providing funding for pilot studies to look at road user charges, vehicle mile traveled fees. So basically where an electric vehicle would pay a cost, a cent or two or three, depending on what it is, for every mile they travel on the network. The interesting thing about that model is it could be applied to all vehicles. It would create greater equity in terms of use of the system. So it wouldn't matter if you were using a very fuel efficient vehicle or a very fuel inefficient vehicle, everybody would pay the same for their use of the system. So there have been studies on that federally. There has been funding provided to pilot some of those studies. And in fact, in Utah, they've already rolled out a program. It's an opt-in. They can either pay a registration fee, an additional registration fee, or they can opt in to the vehicle mile travel or road user charge system. So it's in play.
Okay, so you would pay regular gas taxes and a VMT?
No, it would replace. If it went to normal engines, normal gas-powered engines, it would replace that. The challenge with evolving into that space is the fact that we have to develop the technology. We have to figure out if I currently have a vehicle and I'm just paying a gas tax, how do I evolve into that space? And so there's some tech challenges that need to be resolved. Right now in Utah, they're only doing it for EVs. They're not doing it for other vehicles. So
with the bill that NV Energy is obviously supportive of, that's going through the legislature, part of that is lots of electrical charging stations. But I mean, that's a huge project. Even just here in Nevada, I mean, there are thousands of pumps that would need to be replaced at some point by electrical charging stations. Again, is that a multi-decade project?
It's going to take some time to do that. I think one of the things about electric vehicles, as you look at them, is that a lot of electric vehicles will be able to be charged at home. You won't have that. You can't fuel your vehicle at home today unless you have an electric vehicle. But in the future, many people will be able to do that. So I don't know that it ends up being a one-for-one replacement. There are a lot of people smarter than me that are looking at how that evolution will occur. But right now, they know that if we want to encourage more adoption of electric vehicles to help hasten the change of the fleet overall, we do need more electric vehicle infrastructure out there, and so that bill will help us get there.
All right, we'll be back with Christina Swallow of NDOT right after this.
Tamarack Casino is giving away two Mercedes-Benz during the $125,000 Benz or Cash giveaways. Plus, players get 5x points on video reels every Friday. Win two Mercedes-Benz now through May at Tamarack Casino.
Hey guys, are you watching the game at a friend's or the bar again because you can't watch at home with your wife? Or worse, because she kicked you out and kept your couch, your flat screen, and your kids? What's the one thing a man needs when he loses a good woman? A good lawyer. And when he loses a bad woman, he needs a great lawyer. What makes a good woman a bad woman? You tell me. You're the one that can't watch the game in your own home. I'm men's rights attorney Marilyn York, and I represent men in divorce, custody, and family law matters.
Dimitri Prine here for Design Outdoor. Are you a homeowner who's interested in remodeling or building a home? At Design Outdoor, we can show you how adding natural or manufactured masonry stone can add beauty and value to your home. And we refer only the best contractors. Our store and backyard are located at 11600 South Virginia, just north of DeMonte Ranch Parkway. Visit designoutdoor.com or call us at 851-9499.
Retail's impact on Nevada's economy? Enormous. 8,600 businesses, large and small, employing 145,000 workers. And last fiscal year, retail paid tax on nearly $60 billion in sales. We're the Retail Association of Nevada. We support retail, we help it grow, and we mean business.
RANNV.org. Tamarack Casino is giving away two Mercedes-Benz during the $125,000 Benz or Cash giveaways. Plus, players get 5x points on video reels every Friday. Win two Mercedes-Benz now through May at Tamarack Casino.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Christina Swallow. She is director of the Nevada Department of Transportation. So just to go back to the beginning here. So basically, infrastructure money will be to catch up with a backlog of what's going on. You're not envisioning new projects to be able to fund from this. Am I correct on that?
Yeah, if we get additional funding, we already have a suite of projects identified that we will be able to direct that funding to help deliver.
And is there something new that the public is not aware of that's part of that?
No, I think most of the projects are already out there and the public's aware of them. So for instance, here in Northern Nevada and in Washoe County, the Spaghetti Bowl project is well underway with our first phase. Overall, that's 5 phases of projects and it's a $2 billion overall project cost. That's just in Washoe and Reno.
And that's a very long project.
And it's a 20-year project. In Las Vegas, though, we have multiple projects going on. We're looking at, you know, how do we widen I-15 for the next phase down from south of Tropicana. We have the Tropicana project we're delivering right now. We're actually looking at right now, how do we replace that downtown viaduct on 95 I-515? How do we replace that? That project is going to be in the scale of Project Neon, and we only delivered one phase so far of Project Neon. We have a lot of projects to deliver. None of that even accounts for the fact that we have maintenance stations throughout the entire entire state that are in disrepair and no longer meeting the needs of our team members that need to clear the roads. Like, the trucks no longer fit into the maintenance stations. And so we need to work on just our own basic team infrastructure, our organization's infrastructure, to ensure that we can keep the roads open for travelers across the entire state.
Okay, last question here. You know, as I do, that there's been a lot of controversy over the HOV lanes in Las Vegas. Are they going to remain 24 hours a day, or are we going to see some changes there? Because I know you're getting a lot of heat from the Las Vegas Review-Journal.
You know, I'm so glad that you asked that question. So when we rolled them out, we got that feedback, and I said, you know what, we need to give them some time to test and see how they work. Unfortunately, one of the years that they've been open has been during the pandemic, so we really didn't get that full impact or a full understanding of how they were operating. That said, we did significant testing, and I should say testing in the computer, like model testing, research, to see if there was an opportunity to do something different. And what we found is that we could roll out a pilot. And so with what we, based on the models, assume will be low risk, because we're really worried about safety. And so we found that out. We've gone out to a procurement. We now have, or we're getting, a consultant on board to run a pilot study. We anticipate that later this year or early next year, they will roll back the hours to something different than they are. They won't be 24 hours, they'll be something less. I can't tell you what they are going to be, because they're going to go out there.
And I have to stop you, because I think you broke the news there, and I appreciate that, but we are out of time. But that means please come back.
All right, I'm excited to tell you.
We're appreciating you being here, thank you. And we'll be right back.
Brian Culpa Photography was born in the rolling hills of Massachusetts, and now he can help you experience the stunning beauty of Nevada in a whole new way through the power of flight. Flying has always been a passion for Brian, and at Brian Culpa Photography, he can make your imagination soar. Brian has the creative mind and tools to tell your unique story. Experience the bird's eye view at brianculpaphotography.com.
Kenny! Dad? Why are you learning? This place is great.
Huh?
You gotta try this. Wow! This stuff is great! People are gonna love it!
Yes. Yes, they will.
As you know, Reno is booming. Toll's Development Company is helping it grow with insightful design and development, building community with every project, adding beauty, adding excitement, emphasizing our shared humanity. Reno is becoming bigger. Toll's Development is helping it become better, more livable, more enjoyable. To learn more, go to tollsdevelopment.com. tollsdevelopment.com.
Take a look at Pro Group Management and see how your workers' comp requirements can be met head-on. By taking a proactive approach, Pro Group can assure that your company is meeting or exceeding state and federal standards. As you move forward in your industry, Pro Group moves with you, simplifying regulatory tasks, clearing the way so you can get the job done, and look to your future success. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
As always, you can watch Nevada Newsmakers on television, radio, audio and video, podcasts, and YouTube. We'll see you on the next broadcast, coming to you from Carson City. See you then.